Midwest Guys presents Gotham Watch.
Yay, Gotham!
Tell Sal it's over. The guns are bought. The killing room is waiting. He doesn't know it, but he's a dead man. On second thought, I'll tell him myself.
Hello and welcome back to Gotham Watch. That's right, we're back. We've been on hiatus for about a month now, but we are back and we are here to catch you back up. With me today, as always, is Mr. Enkenbauer. Say hello.
Hello, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Not much, just catching up November, right?
Yeah, we're catching up pretty much November. I think November 1st was our last Gotham Watch, so it's almost been literally a month. So, and as a result, you have four episodes to cover today, so... Episodes 7, 8, 9, and 10, Mommy's Little Monster, Tonight's the Night, A Bitter Pill to Swallow, and The Son of Gotham. So, we got a lot to get into. You ready to do this?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, so let's start with Episode 7. We have Mommy's Little Monster. This was a pretty decent episode. This is where we find out if Butch was able to be deprogrammed or not, and apparently he was. And he kind of turns on Penguin, obviously, and Gallivant kills Penguin's mom. So we kind of see Penguin kind of go off the deep end, obviously, because obviously he has a huge attachment to his mother. So, it was a pretty good episode. What'd you think, Brian?
Yeah, I mean, it was a pretty good episode, and I think it was more. It wasn't so much that Butch turned on Penguin as much as it was Butch saw who the bigger threat was.
Yeah, that's probably a fair point.
Because he was able to think for himself, for the most part. And I guess there was a little bit of animosity between Penguin and Butch, but he did say, you know, he's like, sorry, boss, blah blah blah, blah, you know. But it was kind of, I felt to me like it was one of the, because he never really attacked Penguin or anything. He just brought him there.
Yeah, that's true. I guess he didn't really try to harm him necessarily, but he's no longer he no longer has to do everything Penguin tells him. It's because I think Penguin actually orders Butch to kill Gallivant, and he says no.
Yeah.
And that's what kind of shocks Penguin. So, and obviously, you know, we see him lose his mom, and, you know, Penguin's kind of goes off the deep end, obviously, and we even see, yeah, so it's a good episode. I don't know if it was. Did you think it was lacking anywhere on this one? I don't know. Maybe it was just
well,
me.
To be honest, I think a lot of these episodes have been lacking a little bit. It feels like, and I think it's just because how fast paced and Batman-esque the first couple episodes were.
Yeah.
That every episode since then, it feels like it's just long, drawn out, got to tell the backstory while we're doing the, you know, trying to stay true to the Batman-esque way of thinking, you know, because we're trying to tell the backstories of all these characters and how they developed and everything else. And, you know, in the first, we were watching it, we're like, oh, man. And we already know the Batman story. So it was easy for us to follow and make our own conclusions and follow all this other stuff, whereas this Gallivant, we're not used to it. We've never seen it before in any of the movies, any of the comics. It's a guy that they've created to bring in, and it's hard for us to just sit here and follow along as it goes. It just seems long and drawn out, like it's. That would be say what I would say it's lacking is that fast paced, intense.
Yeah,
we know where we're going.
Yeah, exactly. That's probably a fair point. You know, I don't know. And the other thing, Butch kind of disappears in this episode. And since we're covering four episodes, I can tell you right now, not spoiler alert, but he doesn't show up in the rest of them. So he kind of disappears from this point going forward. So I don't know.
Was this the episode he went away in?
Yeah, it's either this one or the next one, but it might be the next one. But
I can't remember because they all kind of flowed together for me. But
yeah, I mean, you see him in the bar, they shoot
with
up
his
the
own
bar,
guys.
Yeah, and he's kind of got his own gang, and then they all disappear, and you don't see him again. So I'm not sure what they've got in store for him in the future, if anything. I would like to see him come back. I kind of like the character, to be honest.
Yeah, he plays a good character. You know, what's funny is that I actually saw him on it's amazing when you see actors on certain shows, you see him on other shows.
Yeah.
I just saw an episode of Castle.
Oh, really?
And he played one of the guys on Castle. I was like, oh, my gosh.
It's Butch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's your mallet, Butch?
I know, exactly. I was like, oh, he has his hand.
One other thing we should cover in this episode, Nygma kills his girlfriend. Miss Kringle is dead. Accidentally kills her in kind of a, what's the novel? Men of Mice or Mice of Men.
Yeah,
kind of way.
Of mice and men,
yeah, kind of trying to keep her quiet and ends up strangling her to death. So this was I wasn't expecting this. I wasn't expecting her to die that quickly.
Well, no, I don't think anybody was, just because of her last name and the fact that there was another villain in the storyline of a villain with the last name of Kringle.
Kringle, yeah. So I was like, okay, that was... Because she was even in season one, and I was like, oh, well, that's okay.
Well, yeah, because I thought they were just simply going to do the same thing they did with Firefly and make the Kris Kringle villain a girl villain and make Kristen Kringle.
Right. Yeah, I was kind of thinking the same thing, and then in fact, in the next episode, well, we'll get to it, I guess. But yeah, there's no bringing that one back. So.
Yeah, that was.
Yeah.
And another thing I thought was funny and odd.
Yeah.
I guess it's more the humanity of him. The fact that he, to dispose of the body, buries it, wants to go bury it.
Yeah.
As opposed to what he did with the officer that he killed.
Where
he just chopped it up and put it in acid and there was no evidence.
Right, right. Yeah, and we're now talking. We'll go ahead and make the transition. We're now in episode 8 tonight. Tonight's the night, and we see Nygma literally not only he did kind of chop her up. It looks like, cause she's in, or at least stuffed her into a suitcase, which is very morbid. But yeah, he has kind of this romantic side, kind of strange. I don't know what to call it, because he's having like a last picnic with the body.
Yeah, so I was gonna say it was like a last picnic. He had two wine glasses and a sandwich and some other stuff. And
yeah, it was just kind of He's like, I thought we could have one last meal together, and of course, then the hunter shows up and he ends up killing him, and,
and he's like, oh well, crap,
and then. Well, then he ends up running into Penguin at the end of the episode, but we'll get into that in a minute. The other part of tonight is the night, you know, we see Galavan releases Barbara to go after Jim. So, you know, Barbara kidnaps, not only does she end up grabbing Jim or taking Jim on a wild goose chase in a police car, which gets hijacked or hit by a truck, and they take Jim, which is kind of a cool scene, you know, it's kind of out of nowhere. And they take Jim hostage, and we end up in the church where they were supposed to get married, apparently, with Lee. She kidnaps Lee as well. What did you think of that whole scene, Brian?
It was interesting. I wasn't expecting that be the when he says, you know, I want you to kill Gordon. It almost as if she still had still does have feelings for him.
Yeah, in a strange psychotic way, like she wants to kill him, but
she doesn't.
Yeah, or she wants to kill him, but she still wants somehow to be attached to him somehow.
Yeah, yeah. Unless he wants to change.
Yeah, yeah, and then if he
embrace it, or I'm going to kill you.
Yeah, because this episode they kind of highlight, they go after the whole, these underlying thing of Jim having the dark side, which is kind of like an underlying theme this season, it seems.
Yeah.
And, so you got this whole, Barbara kind of trying to bring out the dark side in Jim. And Jim just kind of, you know, he fights it, and then there's a conflict, obviously. He gets free, saves Lee, and then goes after Barbara, and Barbara ends up, like, throwing herself out. Does she end up throwing herself out the window? or something.
I think they struggle.
They struggle, and yeah, she gets ends up going through a window, and Jim's got a hold of her, and eventually, you know, Jim's got her dangling from the like the second floor of a church, and she lets go, and just kind of
falls. Because she says before she falls, and like the true like, I'm gonna really mentally screw him up.
Yeah.
Like you can see her whole demeanor change where she goes from being psychotic and everything else. She changes back to the barber we saw basically all of season one.
Yeah, to the
and the sweet innocent girlfriend whatever, and she's like, "I'll always love you, baby," and then falls, and it's just like one of those like,
no,
yeah, exactly,
yeah.
But so, then, but we think she's dead, but then we see her all carted off, all you know, banged up into the ambulance.
Yeah, I thought okay, they just killed Barbara off, but yeah, luckily they kept her around. So I just wonder where they sent her, though.
Well, I think they sent... Didn't they send her to... I thought they sent her to whatchamacallit.
Back to Arkham?
Indian Hill?
Oh, she did go to Indian Hill. Because I wasn't sure, honestly. I wasn't sure if she ends up in Indian Hill or if she ends up back over in Arkham. Because they say Arkham has the facilities to treat her or whatever. But maybe
right, which is what I thought they meant by Indian Hill.
So maybe that's what Indian Hill is. I don't know. That would be a good way to tie in Indian Hill. Because I'm thinking, the more I think about it, I think Indian Hill is either going to be the second half of the season or maybe even season two. Or season three, I mean.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, is Indian Hill is going to be season three.
Yeah.
And I also think that the more and more I think about it, I think Barbara is going to end up being Harley Quinn.
She definitely has the persona for it. Right?
Yeah. I mean, I just get that feeling. I mean, I don't know why, but
yeah,
I'm hoping.
I'm hoping too, man. It would be a waste because I think she's got it down, and everything she's done this season to me is Harley Quinn, or you know. So
said the same thing about Joker, though.
I know. It maybe they're just teasing us like they did with Jerome. I don't know. Hopefully not. But, yeah, because she's got, I don't know, all she's missing is the, from the cartoon anyway, is the New York accent.
Yeah.
Mr. J. So, yeah, we'll see. So at the end of the episode, Nygma finds his picnic lunch has been eaten because he kills the hunter that stumbles upon him and the remains of his Kringle. He goes to get something to cut him up with, and he comes back to find that his picnic lunch has been eaten, finds a blood trail, follows it to a trailer in the woods, and out of the door comes the Penguin. And basically Penguin kind of collapsed because he's been shot in the previous episode. He was shot by Gallivant's sister.
Yep.
And so he's kind of half dead, pretty much, and he basically asks for Enigma's help, and that's how Tonight is the Night ends, and that leads right into A Bitter Pill to Swallow. So in A Bitter Pill, Episode 9, we pick up with Enigma taking care of the Penguin. This was kind of interesting to see these two interact. Obviously, you kind of get chills anytime you put these two together. What did you think, Brian?
Yeah, it was funny because it was like, Enigma has that, he knows Penguin's bad and he can help him with his problems, but he's almost like toying with him. You know, he's playing at the piano or whatever, playing that song that Penguin was singing that his mom used to sing to him.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's just toying with him, like he's like, wants to tell him riddles and stuff. It is truly the Riddler persona coming out.
Yeah, definitely. I think this is the first time we really get to see him play the Riddler, because up to now you've had the two sides of the coin, right? Like Edward Nygma and this psycho personality that he's been seeing in the mirror. And now you see him more as the Riddler-esque, and he's kind of trying to revive Penguin, because Penguin's about ready to pack it up and leave at this point.
Yep.
He's like, all right, I'm done. My mom's dead. I don't want anything to do with this crap anymore. And so Nygma's just playing with him, toying with him, trying to get him to bring Penguin back, because he knows Penguin can help him fulfill his destiny or whatever.
He even tells Penguin, he's like, a man with nothing to lose is a force.
Yeah, cannot be controlled is a man who cannot be controlled. So, and he does revive Penguin, and they end up getting Gallivant's lackey, who's tied up, and eventually they kind of kill him together at the end of the episode.
Right.
Kind of restoring Penguin's dark side, so to speak. And kind of getting him over his mom's death in a way, I guess, slightly. The other thing we saw in here is we see Gallivant's sister hire like a League of Assassins, almost like a Gotham.
Almost like a Gotham's version of a League of Assassins.
Yeah, and so they're constantly trying to kill Jim.
Killers for hire.
Yeah, killers for hire kind of thing. And so first it's a guy with piano string, and then there's another set of three they send out.
Yeah.
To kill him, and there's this big, they go to Gallivant's place to investigate. I think they're looking for evidence. And anyway, so this all takes place at Gallivant's place. And the captain is injured, and they're trapped inside. And so they not only do they defeat the piano killer, who ends up getting killed by the next group that they send out, the group of three assassins. They defeat the group of three assassins, and then the head of the League of Assassins, because that's what I'm going to call him, calls this Edward Flamingo, who is probably the most demented villain we've seen,
in a while. Because we did have a cannibal in early on.
That's true. But, yeah, this guy's apparently a cannibal. You see him with torturing a guy, and there's like a half of a body inside of a furnace, and he cuts the guy's ear off, and he's dangling it in his mouth. So
yeah, I mean, it's really weird. And she says, he's like, oh, you need me now, because I guess he got
kicked
banned from the group because he ate his victims.
Yeah, so apparently they do. Even the League of Assassins, I guess, has some sort of standards.
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, so they send Edward Flamingo after Jim. Jim basically, just goes right out front to meet him in kind of a showdown, at the OK Corral style.
Yeah, he's like a badass in this one.
Yeah, yeah, and literally he pushes Jim to the edge, and again, it's the whole Jim's dark side thing, and he actually puts the gun inside of Flamingo's mouth, which is the same thing the captain had told him a story earlier, and he had done the same thing, but the captain actually blew the guy's head off, he said. And he said, and the captain had told Jim, he said, the difference between us and the animals is the law. So fast forward, you see Jim with Edward Flamingo, and he's got the gun in his mouth, and he's about to, and he stops himself. He pulls back.
Yeah, it mimics what the story was that the commish told him.
Yeah, it just told him, literally.
Yeah, like he's like, I was there in the desert, and I had my gun in his mouth, and you know, I felt I was gonna breathe, and blah blah blah, and I pulled the trigger. And you're like, oh, so you crossed the line. And
yeah,
that's why you don't want anybody else to cross the line.
Right, that's why he's so big on it. That's why
Yeah. And he's like, there is no line. There's just the law.
Yep. And so he actually pulls. So Jim is literally taken to the brink. And basically, he almost does it. He almost pulls the trigger, but he pulls back, pulls the gun out of his mouth. They arrest him, send Flamingo on his way. Jim goes home to Lee. And in the meantime, there's like this, what was her name, Brian? Do you remember?
Was it Baker?
It might have been Baker. Anyway, it's one of the new cops.
Baker or Parker or something.
Parker. She's a member of the elite task force that they put together. New cop, and Flamingo's getting ready to put, or she's getting ready to put Flamingo in the cell. Flamingo turns around and kind of does a Dracula moment on her, and just kind of starts eating at her. Forces her to the ground and then starts eating her her throat.
Well, no, yeah, he just latches on and doesn't let go.
Yeah.
And as they fall to the floor, you know, he falls away, but he's already severed her carotid and she's done.
Yeah, she just kind of bleeds out because he won't let go.
Yeah.
Essentially. So, yeah. Yeah, so...
I guess it was his last meal.
Yeah, something like that. So, obviously, Lee gets the phone call. Jim's with Lee. You know, he seems to be okay after the whole incident, and then he finds out the news, and the episode kind of ends with him with that look on his face like, I should have killed the bastard. You know?
Yeah. You know, it's one of those moral things. Like, he's like, you know, okay, I did the right thing this time. I didn't kill him. Like, everybody tells me not to. And then, you know, he's like, yeah, you know what, I do feel better. And then all of a sudden he gets the phone call that the person who he sent off with the person who he should have killed gets killed because he didn't kill the original killer. And he's,
yep.
And, you know, it's like one of those, like, all this happened because I didn't do what I wanted to do, what I should have done. Now another innocent person is dead because of me or something that I should have done.
Exactly. So he's you know, obviously huge guilt, huge remorse going on there. And, yeah, it really, you could make, it's easy enough to make the argument, even though he did the right thing and not killing him, that, yeah, it's kind of his fault.
Yeah.
You know, no good deed goes unpunished, right? So, mm-hmm. As they say. But yeah, I kind of like this episode, Brian. Of the four, it was one of my, I mean, it would probably be my second favorite. What'd you think?
Yeah, I mean, I did like the episode, although I wasn't sold. I was, you know, Gallivant's sister was a badass, and then all of a sudden,
yeah.
Now she has to hire somebody?
Well, she
she was supposed to be the ultimate assassin.
Well, she gets injured or whatever, her arm gets injured, and they, a fight, I can't remember who she was fighting now.
Oh, she got shot by,
Is it Jim?
Oh,
Jim,
yeah.
or
yeah, it was either
Bullock.
Jim or the Commish.
Yeah, one of them. Yeah, it might have been the Commish, but it was either Jim or Bullock. Anyway, she gets shot in the arm, so she's kind of out of commission, at least temporarily. That's how I see it, solid anyway. I don't
right,
know.
But I still wouldn't see her as somebody who needed to...
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I mean, maybe it was just because she... I don't know. Maybe she just wanted a revenge and, you know.
Instant revenge, I guess.
Instant revenge and wasn't willing to wait.
Yeah. I guess so.
But yeah, but other than that, I thought it was pretty good. I was kind of cool to see Jim almost kind of lose it.
Yeah. I mean, I will admit that this is the most, probably one of the more intense fight scenes, including, like, that included Gordon, like from start to finish, you know, when it started out with just the one guy trying to kill him in the elevator, and then the three assassins come in, the one comes down the back stairs, and the two come in the front, and they have the big altercation there with the gunplay and everything else, and then another guy comes, and it was just like, it just felt like it was an ongoing continuation. Now, what I don't remember why, but why did it stop? Because I thought they would keep sending people until it stopped.
That was my understanding, too, but I don't know if – I also kind of felt like when the – I don't remember her name, the leader of the League of Assassins that runs the joint.
Yeah, I don't think they gave her name.
The impression I got on the phone when she's talking to Flamingo is it's a last-ditch effort on her part. It's like she's turning to him because she has nobody else that she thinks can get the job done.
I guess so.
That's, at least that's how I read into it. And maybe that's why it stopped, because they're, you know, anybody else she would have sent would have easily been, you know, no match. So, I don't know. I'm kind of in your boat, though, to be honest with you. Yeah, I kind of thought it would kind of continue into the next episode until they brought down this League of Assassins or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe we'll see them in the future. I don't know if there's a role for them yet to play. Okay, so we move into episode 10, The Sons of Gotham. This was my favorite episode of the four. Here we see Gallivant goes to trial, and you see Jim, actually even before Gallivant goes to trial, you see Jim sit down with Gallivant at the beginning of the episode. Gallivant has a smirk on his face because he knows he's going to get off. And Jim picks up on that, and he's just desperate to find any kind of evidence really here to convict, to keep that from happening.
Right.
You know, and so Jim's just kind of obsessed, and he's obsessed still he's still being bothered that he didn't kill Flamingo from the last episode. That kind of continues through because Lee tries to reach out to him and tell him to come to bed, and he doesn't want to. You know, it's more of a separation between those two, and you can see they're both bothered by it. And, you know, it's Jim's kind of still going down this pretty dark path, Brian. I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you can definitely see the darkness in his character. Mm-hmm. He's kind of he's out to get rid of this. He's out to clean up the city, regardless of what it's going to cost him.
Right.
It's like his heart. He doesn't care. He wants to love, but his true love is to clean up this city.
Yeah. It's
regardless of what happens.
Yeah, it's just it's just his passion, his overall passion for cleaning up the city. It's really all season. I mean, it's been, you know, he killed for Penguin essentially, even though it was self-defense, but still, you know, it's been one compromise after another, after another, after another, and the line keeps getting pushed further and further back as we go forward. So, I don't know. Anyway, Galavant goes to trial. He gets off because the mayor is coerced into saying that it wasn't him. It was Penguin that kidnapped him, blah, blah, blah. Galavant gets out. I forgot the Brotherhood shows up. The Brotherhood showed up in episode 9, and they're kind of like these,
Crusaders.
Crusaders is probably the best word, like a cult of Crusaders, deemed on cleansing Gotham, right? So they have this, I don't know, what would you call it, Brian? I'm at a loss for words.
Well, they kind of look like, I would call them like the Knights Templar almost.
Yeah, there you go. That's kind of what I was looking for. Like the.
I mean, they have that Crusader, like the Crusader for Christ almost, except they're more they are based on the kind of spiritual stuff. You can see them doing seances and stuff, but theirs is more of a bloodlust.
Yeah.
For that, the house of Dumas or whatever.
Yeah, Dumas.
I know that. I don't know why they called it that, because every time I hear it, that's exactly what I think.
I do too, dude. I can't get it out of my head. I'm like,
it's Dumas.
Dumas.
Yeah, every time.
Yeah, they should have picked something else. Even a better, like just a different vowel at the end or something. It would have been better.
Even put a T on the end.
Yeah.
Dumas,
you know, would be better. So you got this
count the money, count the money. Dumas.
you got this. We're making light of them, but I guess they're supposed to be the scary cult, Day of Reckoning, going around killing a bunch of people. Or they're trying to kill 9 people, I guess.
Yeah, the blood of the 9.
Yeah. Which will cleanse the city, blah blah blah, and and apparently the son of Gotham is the last one, which at first I thought was Bruce, and then I thought at one point when they captured Jim, I thought it was Jim, but by the end of the episode, it looks like it's Bruce again.
Oh yeah, it's 100% Bruce, because yeah. Even in the earlier parts when we just got introduced to the Brotherhood, and it was just Father whatever his name is, the head guy, he asked, "Do you have the boy?"
Right.
And
so,
or do you have the Wayne boy? And he's like, "No, not yet, but everything will go into place." And you could tell. You know, what's funny is that the Order is setting up to where they think that it's. I think there's going to be a turn here. This is just my prediction, but they think they're fighting to put in their beliefs and their system and everything else, and Galavant is setting it up so that he can run everything.
Yeah.
Where he's supposed to have that vow of poverty and to the religion and to the cause, and he's like, heck no, I'm setting myself up to run everything and rule everything.
Mm-hmm.
because he's like, not all the chess pieces are in place, but when it does, I'll have control of everything. And then even the father says, it sounds to me like you're going against blah 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 blah. And he's like, oh no, I'm just putting pieces in place.
Mm. So you may Galavan may have even is just using them.
Yes,
in his mind.
Because if you remember, like even in the flashback scene when the one lady was talking about it,
yeah,
she said that when they banished the Dumas guy, the religion that followed him went with him.
Mm. Yeah, that's true. So he's kind of like the head of the order. Well, maybe not the head of the order. I guess the priest is, but still. So
yeah, it's funny because it really resembles, for me anyway, it resembles. What is it, Game of Thrones?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah,
where they have that the church is kind of like a really all powerful.
It's like part
thing,
of,
like a backdrop, like the queen or whatever.
Right, like a political element almost. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, you might be right. I didn't even pick up on Galavant and having a disagreement with whatever they are, the brothers. I'll just call them the brothers because
yeah.
I don't know what they are. But yeah, so that'll be an interesting. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And then the other part of this episode, and the part I probably like the best, is we see Bruce get very devious and almost Batman-esque like when he outsmarts Silver here.
That was 100% Batman-esque.
Yeah, it was very cool to see, you know, because he completely organized this fake kidnapping and
sold it.
Yeah, and sold it, torture scene to Silver to get her to talk.
He 100% sold that scene, and I thought there was something when he screamed the way he did, because even in a lot of the things, he hasn't screamed like that, but he sold that so well. And it was funny because up until that point, if you remember, whatchamacallit, Alfred had told him, you're not that devious, you're not that good at pretending.
Yeah, you're not ready yet for that.
And he's like, oh, I'm ready, or whatever he said. And then
yeah.
To watch him do this
mm-hmm.
was just like, oh, that's so much the way like Batman does like his...
Messes with the mind games with the...
Yeah.
Yeah, it was very cool.
And to see him pair up with Kat was good, too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously she was helping him along on this whole... Probably helped him formulate the plan, but still, it was... It was the first time because he actually used the whole helplessness of the little boy, the helplessness, and he turned it on. He used that, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, did you see the demeanor when after she gave up the name or whatever?
Yeah.
His demeanor on his face was just like, it very much, it felt like, I want to say the coldness of Batman. You know
yes.
what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
Like, I could almost picture the cowl on top of his head, like.
Yeah, the mask or whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah, yeah. I agree with you. It was very cool to see. You know, it wasn't like he was in her face or anything. Like, you know, like Christian Bale, like get over here. You know, that kind of. But he was. Yeah, it was very cold. Very. Yeah, it was just. It was
like
cool
he had no. See. He had no feelings for it at all.
No, not at all. Not even a little bit. I mean,
he goes like, I made you believe that, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, oh
yep.
my gosh.
Yeah. It's like, it's like the equivalent of Batman holding somebody over a rooftop almost.
Yeah.
To get him to talk almost. And,
mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was very cool to see. Very, Bruce coming into his own moment. So yeah.
And he does get a name of the person that killed his parents.
Yeah, it was began with an M. I know that
Malone.
So I've been trying to something about that seems familiar to me,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't been able to place it yet. And I don't know. Do you have any background on that one or no?
Well, I mean, we're all going to find out eventually, but I'm pretty sure that this Malone character is going to end up being Penguin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Because the Joker. I mean, not Penguin. Joker.
Oh,
because
Joker.
The Joker killed Batman's parents. Every storyline we've ever had. So
yeah.
I think Malone might be one of the people who gets, you know, he's like, oh, you know, the laughter and everything else. And, you know, and he kills, you know, his whole persona changes to the Joker persona.
Yeah.
I think this Malone is going to be end up being the Joker for us.
Could be. I can't place the last name. I want to say it was maybe even Joker's dad was named Malone or something. For some reason, that name sticks out in my mind, and I don't know why. I don't know if it's something we've seen in the cartoon series, the comics, or if it's something that's happened in Gotham itself. Like I said, there's something about that just seems familiar to me.
Oh, and the other thing I was going to bring up to you, I don't know if you've noticed or not, but in several of these episodes, in several of the city shots,
uh-huh.
when they're either walking through the street or whatever,
yeah.
There's a lot of Joker references on the back walls or
I didn't pick up on that.
Spray painted on stuff like the ha 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 or the like the smile, the Joker, the laughter fight, laughing.
Not really.
Oh, it's been all over, and I was like, I'm really starting to notice it the past couple episodes.
So like the Joker gang is starting to form or whatever.
Well, I don't know if it's the Joker gang, but the artwork on the wall of like the spray paint, the tatting of the whatever,
mm-hmm.
is starting to be there of this, infectious laughter or whatever.
Right.
So huh. I thought that was kind of neat.
I haven't picked up on that at all. That's that's a good Easter egg there, Brian.
Yeah, start watching the backgrounds as they're going through some of these city scenes, and you'll see it like spray painted on like pillars underneath the roadways or like on the alleys next to the dumpsters.
Yeah. Huh. So if they do bring Jerome back, he'd have a gang of his own almost, maybe, or followers anyway. Interesting. All right. Well, I definitely have to go back and pick up on that. So, all right. Well, I think we've covered all four episodes fairly well, so let's just get right to final thoughts. All right, Brian, what was your final thoughts on these / grade of these last four episodes we just went through?
Had it not been for the Joker's departure in the first couple episodes, I would probably say that this season is going, it's progressing nicely. We're seeing the arc of the villain. We're seeing the formation of the Batman philosophies in Bruce Wayne's mind. Mm-hmm. We're seeing Gordon take more of a control over Gotham. Like, he's doing the stuff necessary to take care of the villains at hand. But you can slowly see that he's not the force that he needs to be to take care of them.
Yeah.
Like, they're still able to work behind the scenes. And, yeah, he does catch one or two here and there, but there are still, the Penguin and the Riddler and those behind the scenes that he's not even aware of. That are happening. We're on the show, of course, we're able to see it, but he's not aware of it. He's only fighting, certain things as a cop. So the show is progressing along really nicely. However, I'm still disappointed by the Joker's departure, and I think that's where the entire season for me is going to end, is when Joker left. And I don't think anything is going to get me to that point where I was after that episode when we're like, oh my gosh, did you see it when he was going down the bus and the side angles of the old, the reference back to the old 70s Batman, 60s Batman show, and did you see, all that laughter is awesome. And
his pronunciation.
We're not going to get to that point this season, I don't think, not with this Galavan character. I mean, it's going to be it almost has a very detective-esque kind of show,
mm-hmm.
more so than a superhero show.
Yeah,
and I'm hoping that when we get into the next season, season three, that we're going to get more of the supervillains, released out of Indian Hill or whatnot.
Yeah,
I'm also hoping that we see the development more of Bruce Wayne, maybe even flashing across episode one next season says something like 4 years later.
Oh, like a flash forward kind of thing.
You know what I mean? Like, and we mm-hmm. see. I mean, I don't know how much this kid can age. I don't know how much they've tried to make him younger, as they do with a lot of characters and movies and stuff, where you see like 28-year-olds playing 18-year-olds and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much they've done of that for the Bruce Wayne character, for the kid.
Mm-hmm.
But I would like to see 4 years later and him take on more of a, you know, 17, 18-year-old character, kind of coming into his own as a man, kind of, you know what I mean?
Right, he's got a little bit more of muscle behind him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that would be tremendous, and then we start seeing the Batman versus the Joker, or the Batman versus the Riddler, or whatnot.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be excellent, I think.
Oh, and one last thing, the grade I would say so far for this season, I'm going to give it a B.
A B so far? Okay.
Yeah, I have a hard time giving it an A unless we get, you know, something
Joker
really
back.
Amazing happens. Even not even the Joker, just something amazing that happens.
Yeah.
But for right now, I'm stuck right at that B mark.
Gotcha. Yeah, good final thought, sir. Good final thought. For me, when it comes to the whole Gallivant, Tomas, dumbass storyline, it's okay. It has enough to keep my interest. I think I'm beginning to think, though, that the Gallivant storyline is just it's basic and it's there, and it's just as a catalyst to move the subplots forward now that we're almost halfway through the season. I think they're there to kind of help move the Bruce Wayne development, you know, start the turn into Batman, or creating the alternate ego of Batman. I think it's a catalyst. I think it's a catalyst for whatever direction they're going with. What's his name? Gordon.
Oh, Gordon.
Yeah. I think it's a catalyst for where they're going to move, wherever they're going with Gordon. This whole dark side and how he has to. And how he's changing, because he's confronted with just the absolute horror and corruption that is Gotham, and how that's affecting him, and how does he respond to that? How does he keep himself from becoming, you know, maybe essentially like Harvey? You know, apparently Harvey, or not Harvey Dent, but Bullock. Bullock apparently at one time was like him. We found that out in season one. And, you know, we saw what happened to him. He became like an alcoholic, essentially. You know, and
in the movies too. Yeah, we saw that.
Yeah, he's kind of like an alcoholic, and he started hanging out with the riffraff more than he was a cop. He became a dirty cop, really.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a catalyst for that. I also think now it's a catalyst for the development of Nygma and Penguin, like moving those characters forward too. I think because I've been trying to figure out why are they doing this whole Gallivant storyline, but now I'm starting to see, because we're halfway through, it doesn't need to be much of a storyline, because they're just there to be catalysts to move forward these subplot lines, because now we're going to see Nygma and Cobblepot work together, aka the Riddler and the Penguin, which is kind of awesome, because even in any kind of early incarnation of that is pretty cool to see. And I'm very interested to see where they go with that. And if they ever decide to bring the Joker into it, then you could actually see an early pairing of the big three.
Right. Kind of, yeah.
Together. So, it's, at first, you know, it Gallivant's, like I said, it's okay. It has enough to keep my interest, which I guess is what they want. But yeah, I'm beginning to think it's really just a catalyst to move these other subplots, which are forward, which is more of the main line. The subplots are becoming more of the main lines through the entire season, I think. So it'll be interesting to see if they wrap up the Gallivant storyline at the halfway mark, or if they continue it for the entire season. So,
cause no, I think it'll be there for a little bit, a couple longer.
Yeah, I'm thinking so too. And it, but. I think I'd rather see Gallivant bite the big one at the end of the next episode, and then them dealing with the aftermath of it and moving forward some other storylines for the second half of the season. I don't know. I don't know if they really need him to be around much longer as a catalyst, just from looking at it from a pure storyline perspective. I don't know. What do you think, Brian? Do you think I'm off base?
I think I can see Gallivan being in. I think he'll be in he'll definitely be in the first part of the second half of the season, only because you can't have too much happen in the midway point.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe we're going to get teased with a Jeff Gordon. we're gonna get teased with a Gordon demise or something at the halfway point.
Cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was just my thought with the whole the preview next week with Gordon being was he hung up in the preview for next week or was he hung up at the end episode this episode?
Yeah, this episode he was because they were they looked like they were. Kill him, and then Gallivant says, I got a few minutes, release him.
And then you saw what a badass he was. Did you see that?
Yeah, he's kind of like a kung fu master.
Yeah, so I mean, like, so I'm thinking that he's going to be around for at least the first couple episodes of the second half.
Yeah.
And I think, because I'm going to say he's going to be around the whole season. He just feels, his character feels like he's got that mastermind mentality and the pieces he can put in place that we're going to see something bigger come from it.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like almost Star Wars-esque where the apprentice becomes the master kind of thing where Gallivan has somebody who he's training or not really training but he's somebody we haven't seen yet that has put things in place for him.
Yeah.
And then when Gallivan dies, his backup says he's going to take revenge on Gotham or on Gordon, and he's going to be one of the main villains that we've come to know from Batman, but we haven't found him yet.
Well, it would be kind of cool if they did the whole League of Shadows thing, maybe. I don't know. If they tie that in somehow. You know, Ra's al Ghul and all that.
Mm-hmm.
That stuff, but it'd be a little soon for that. But hey, Gotham's got its own, like Smallville, it's got its own universe to play in.
Oh yeah, and they're playing with everything. And did you see the new update that they just put out, that the new Batman versus Superman TV trailer is going to be on the end of Gotham next week?
Oh no, I did not see that. Oh
yeah, so I'm pretty excited to see that.
That'd be cool. Yeah, that'll get people interested because I think Gotham has a good following, but it would be, I think a lot of people don't know about it yet. A lot of DC fans, I don't think, know about it, to be honest. If they do, they're not watching it anyway. So,
right. I also wanted to bring up one little thing. I mean, this isn't really Gotham related. It's more of a comics DC related.
Yeah.
We're talking about, you know, how they're going to tie in this character and that character, and DC is coming. They said for the longest time they're not going to mix the TV universe with the movie universe.
Yeah.
You know, where Marvel does crossovers.
And it's working.
Well, the latest thing out of the DC camp is that they're going to start mixing.
Hmm.
I don't know if you've watched the new Supergirl on CBS.
No.
So that's a pretty decent show. I mean, I don't want to say anything against women, but it's not a drag down fight out superhero kind of show, but it has a girly tendency to it, but it's still decent. Okay.
Okay.
But there's been several references to Superman. I don't want to say he had a cameo in it, but it very much looked like him, same outfit and everything, but the sun was behind him so you couldn't see his face.
Right.
Right, so he was on the show, but not on the show, if you will, because it really wasn't the same actor.
Right.
But it looked the same. From what I hear is, DC is actually going to do a crossover event in May with The Flash and Supergirl.
Really? Well, that would make sense because you've got CBS and CW are owned by the same company. Okay.
Right. Well, when they do that, they've also said that they're going to bring in Constantine onto the league, the League of Tomorrow, or the Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, really? Because they've been. I've heard there's a campaign to bring that back. Yeah.
So yeah. So he was up at. That petition to get him back on the air or whatever, and he did that crossover event where he was on. Arrow.
Oh, he was on Arrow. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
He showed up for a couple episodes on Arrow. They're starting to do that crossover thing, but now people are wondering how are they gonna mix the two, because on Supergirl they've already talked about Superman.
Yeah.
And they've already talked about Green Lantern.
Oh, really? Hmm.
And they've made references to him. So if they do a crossover event, how does the Flash and Arrow talk about not having brought up Superman or Batman or anything else in any of their things? So they think that there may end up being an ultimate crossover with Arrow, Flash, Supergirl, and then bringing in
elements of Gotham,
some element of Gotham or a Batman-esque part.
Hmm. That would be very cool. You'd have to get Fox to play along.
Right, exactly. So because it's all DC stuff, so it's like it's one of those things like, oh my goodness, you know, if they play it right, they could essentially pull in five shows if you count Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
And essentially take over the market
from Marvel.
From Marvel, because Marvel right now only has
Agents of Shield.
Shows.
Yeah.
Two shows on regular TV, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and Agent Carter.
Right.
Right, which Agent Carter is getting ready to start back up too. And then, whatchamacallit?
They've got Daredevil and...
Daredevil and Jessica Jones. Oh, which by the way, for those of you out there watching, if you can, watch Jessica Jones. And you can binge watch it on Netflix, because... Unlike regular TV shows where they do weekly drops of the new episodes, Netflix apparently, I didn't know it, drops the entire season at one time.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
And I tell you what, that was a pretty decent series. Oh yeah, pretty decent series. And let me just tell you that the villain on that was done so well.
Mm.
The villain's name is Kilgrave. That's not a spoiler alert, because everybody knows that's the main villain. I'm not going to tell you what his weapons are or how he does anything, but dear Lord, does he play the part right?
Huh? I'll have to check it out. I wasn't going to watch it. I really liked Daredevil, but
I tell you what, Jessica Jones blows Daredevil out of the water.
Really?
Yeah, blows it out of the water. They bring in Luke Cage. I don't know if you're familiar with him.
Mm-hmm. I'm vaguely.
It is pretty good. And I'm curious to see how the second season plays out, because I know they already signed him up for another season.
Well, that'd be cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell you what, it's a good time to be a superhero fan and a Star Wars fan. It's the golden age, man.
Yeah, I tell you what, they're going to pull a Birchie. Like Bertie said, they're going to flood the market until we can't take any more of it. but for right now, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, and I'm liking everything I drink.
Oh, man, I love every bit of it. I love it. It's great. It's awesome.
Oh, there's even a crossover with Daredevil.
Oh, is
Jessica
there?
Jessica Jones. Because they're both technically in Hell's Kitchen.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting.
I mean, they even play into the whole Avengers.
Yeah, Avengers is... vaguely referenced in Daredevil. Do they?
Right. Same thing in Jessica Jones.
Hmm.
It's just brought up, but there is reference to Daredevil, and it's subtle. And if you haven't watched Daredevil, you're not going to catch it.
Right.
But I'll leave that out there because you'll be watching for it.
Yeah, I will be.
But you can tell that next season, they'll bring the two together. Yeah. They're basically in the same. They're basically almost in the same neck of the woods.
Huh.
But it was done really well, and I sat here one day and Ben watched the whole damn thing.
Copy that. I'll have to do that coming up. I'll take some time off work or something. Brian, you still there? Hello? He's back.
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Real quick, yes, my grade for getting back to Gotham real quick on these last four episodes, I give them about a B. I give the whole season so far a B as well. I think it's enough to keep my interest. Yes, I'm still kind of like Brian. I'm down about the Joker still, but I'm getting over it slowly but surely. And if you haven't watched Gotham, guys, get out there and watch it. It's definitely worth your time. So, but good episodes, and you definitely need to check it out. So, all right. So you're probably wondering, where can you find us? So you can find 4 Midwest Guys at facebook.com/4MidwestGuys. You can find us on Twitter at @4MidwestGuys, and you can reach out to us via email at 4MidwestGuys@gmail.com. So, Brian, thanks for joining me today, sir.
Oh, thanks for having me on. You know, I'm glad we're able to catch up on Gotham. We got one more episode before the halfway mark.
That's right.
And then we'll be able to give our grades.
Give our grades so far, and we'll wrap up the season so far for you next week. And apologies for us being on hiatus, but hey, it's just kind of like it's life, right? And that's why we have DVRs, and that's why we binge watch, and et cetera, et cetera. So, but we'll definitely be back next week to wrap everything up for you. So until then, I am B. Willie, and we'll catch you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
I'm Batman. Oh, get over here.
I always think of that, man. Always.